There's a little boy that he went to his father one day. They were talking about church. And he said, "Dad, did Grandpa make you go to church or Sunday school every Sunday when you were my age?" And he said, "Yes, son, we went every Sunday." And the son said, "Well, I bet it won't do me any good either." You know, the point of that, it's not enough just to go to church and Sunday school. You have to apply the Bible to your daily life. You know, that's what's important. You know, in fact, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then coming to church is not going to do anything for you spiritually other than hearing the gospel. We need to come to church. We need to hear the word of God. There's reasons we come to church, you know, for corporate worship. We come to church to exhort one another, provoke one another to love and to good works. We come to church because God commands us to come to church. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to come to church, but the point of that is that we don't, it's not enough just to come here and sit. We have to take the principles of the Word of God and apply them to our life. This morning, I'm going to be preaching. I'm just going to tell you up front. This morning, I'm going to preach on the stewardship of our testimony. The stewardship of our testimony. I'm talking about our testimony as a Christian, as a person who has trusted Christ and who is in Christ. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the stewardship of our identity, and we looked at if you are in Christ, if you have come to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you've been born again, then the Bible says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we talked about that. We talked about you are blessed there in Ephesians 1. Not only are you blessed, you're chosen. Not only are you chosen, the Bible tells us that you were adopted into God's family. You were not only adopted, you were accepted in the Beloved. Think about that. You're accepted. God has accepted you because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Not because of your goodness or anything that you've done, but simply through His Son, Jesus Christ. And not only are we accepted, but, you know, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I mean, there's so many things we talked about, and now, knowing those things, knowing what we are in Christ, we are responsible to steward our testimony. If you are in Christ, stewarding your testimony is accepting the responsibility that comes with bearing the name of Christ. Now, I want you to think about that. That's the important point I want you to get today. Stewarding our testimony is accepting the responsibility that comes with bearing the name of Christ. You know, it's choosing a lifestyle that's based on the truths of the Word of God. And I want to say this. It's not nearly as important what others think about us as it is what they think about Christ. Because of our testimony. That's what a lot of Christians miss. It's not what they think about you that's important. That's not what it's all about. That's not what your testimony is about. It's not about, oh, that's a good person. That's an honest man. That's a man of faith. And that's not what it's about. It's not that I'm trying to live a life so people can see how good I am, because I'm not good. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But it's so that they can see Christ. That's what stewarding my testimony. I'm in Christ, so I'm responsible to live in such a way that I reflect Christ, that people can see Jesus Christ in my life. You know, I'm sure you've heard something like this before. You may be the only Bible that people ever read. That's truth. There's a lot of truth to that. There are a lot of people who will not come to the doors of this church. They will not come to listen to the Word of God. They will not come to a Bible class to learn about Jesus. You are the only Jesus they might ever see. Now, I want you to stop and imagine this. I want you to feel this. I want you to imagine this now. Let's suppose that your child or your coworker or your loved one or your friend, that all they had, the only witness they had of Jesus Christ was your testimony. They don't have a Bible. They don't have a church home. They don't listen to preaching, but let's just suppose that all they had was your life testimony. Would they see Christ? Would they believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? I mean, I'm not saying if they had a Bible. I'm saying just looking at your life, looking at your testimony as a Christian, would they be able to say, I know Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because I see what he did and what he's doing in that person's life. That's what we're talking about, stewarding our testimony. And, you know, people look at our words and our actions. And they, you know, if we profess to be a Christian, people are going to look at us and say, oh, that's what a Christian is. We have to stop and think about what kind of testimony are we showing people wherever we go. Not just when we come to church, but when we go to work, when we go to school, or wherever we go, what are people seeing in our lives? You know, this is a biblical concept. I want you to look in 2 Corinthians 3. I want to look at this verse here in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. I want you to notice what Paul writes to this church at Corinth. Now, this church at Corinth is made up of people who are in Christ. People who were once pagans. They worshiped idols. They were in all kinds of immorality and wickedness. But they came to Christ. Their life was changed. They were new creatures in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And look what he writes. He said, forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. What is he talking about here? He's talking about these believers here, these followers of Christ, that they were epistles, letters of Christ. And the context is, you can look in verse 1 and 2, the context is this. There were people that were false teachers who were criticizing Paul's ministry. They were questioning Paul's authority as an apostle. And Paul's asking them this question, do I need a letter of commendation to you? Or do I need a letter of commendation from you as to my apostleship? He says, all I need is your testimony. Your testimony is my letter of commendation. Your testimony is a commendation of my ministry. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, you know, he's basing his authority as an apostle based on their testimony, their changed life. And if you go to chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. The first letter he wrote to this church. In verse 6, you know, he was thanking God for this church. And in verse 6, he says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he was thankful for. As he writes to this church, he said, you know what, I thank God for you. I thank God for you, this church, because of the testimony of Christ. It was confirmed in you. What does that mean, confirmed? Well, you could see it in their life. You could see it in their actions. You could see it in their speech. You can see it by the places they went. You could see it by how they spoke. You can see it how they treated people. You could see it by their attitude. You could see it in their life that Christ was present. Now, when you read 1 Corinthians, you're going to find that this was not a perfect church. This was not a sinless church. We're not talking about people that have no sin. We're not talking about people that are perfect. Nobody's perfect. But we're talking about a people who manifested Christ, a people who had changed life, a people who walked with Christ, a people who showed forth love, joy, and peace, and all these things, the fruit of the Spirit. They could see these people were different. They knew their testimony before they were in Christ. They knew how they were cheaters and liars and thieves and adulterers and fornicators. I mean, you read in 1 Corinthians 6, he tells about it. And such were some of you. Were some of you. There were homosexuals that were in Corinth and they got saved and they changed. They were no longer living in that lifestyle. There were adulterers. They were no longer living in adultery. There were fornicators. They were no longer living in fornication. There were drunkards. They were no longer drunkards. So people could look and say, the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. They had a testimony. By the way they walked. By the way they talked. And we who are in Christ, we who profess Christ, we have a responsibility. A responsibility that comes with bearing the name of Christ. You're responsible to live up to the name. You know, Paul, when he wrote in church at Colossae, if you'll look in Colossians chapter 1, he was thankful for this church. And you know, the church at Colossae was a church that Paul didn't even start. He had never even been there. He'd never even met these people. But Epaphras came to him and told him about this church. And so Paul's writing him a letter, and Paul in this letter, he's thanking God in verse 3 for these people, saying, I'm praying for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love which you have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So he was saying, you know, I'm so thankful to God for you because I heard about your testimony. I heard that you had faith in Jesus Christ. You had love to all the saints. You had hope that made you endure trials and persecutions. He said, I heard that and I've seen that in you. And he goes on and he prays for them. And in verse 9, he talks about he desired that they be filled with knowledge and or the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, he said, now that I know that the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you would grow. I'm praying that your knowledge would grow, your knowledge of God, your knowledge of God's will for your life. I'm praying that you would grow in wisdom. Why? Why did Paul pray that? Well, look what he says in verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice what he said. This is why I'm praying for you. This is why I'm praying for your spiritual growth. I'm praying that your knowledge of God would increase, your knowledge of his will would increase, that ye might walk worthy. What does it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? We're talking about testimony here, people. How many of you growing up did your parents say, you better behave well because you carry our family name? I mean, I heard that growing up. My dad didn't want the Widener name to be, you know, taken out there and bring shame back to the family. Well, we are in Christ. He says that he's praying they grow so that they could walk worthy. This doesn't mean that we walk so we can be worthy of eternal life. No, he's talking to people who have eternal life, who came to Christ, and what he's talking about here is walk in a way that's becoming of Jesus Christ. If I go to work and I'm late all the time, and I'm lazy at work, and I have a bad foul mouth, I'm not walking worthy of the name. If I have a bitter spirit and I just go about just trying to tear people down all the time, I'm not working worthy of the name. If I'm known as somebody that's not trustworthy, somebody that's a liar, somebody that cheats people, somebody that steals, somebody that can't be depended on, I'm not walking worthy of the Lord. I mean, I'm supposed to bear the name of Christ. I'm supposed to show forth Jesus Christ. Stewarding our testimony means that I accept that responsibility that came with my salvation. I'm to grow in my relationship with God. Like last week, I'm to love God with all my heart, with all my mind, and all of my soul. That's the first commandment, to love God. And then to love my neighbor as myself. And by loving God, my neighbors, I grow with God, then I'm to manifest in my life Jesus Christ. Paul's praying that. He said, I'm praying that you'll grow in your Christian life so that you'll walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. You know, 4 weeks ago, I preached it wasn't New Year's Eve, but it was New Year's Eve service. 4 weeks ago, Sunday, I preached on Enoch. Hebrews 11:5. I want to read that verse again. Hebrews 11:5 says this. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, Enoch, he had this testimony. What testimony? That he pleased God. You know, when we look at Genesis 5, it says Enoch, he walked with God. But what was people saying? When they looked at Enoch's life, they looked at him, they said, you know what? That man pleases God. That's a man of faith. That's a man that walks with God. He had this testimony. That's not what he's saying. That's what people are saying about him. They're looking at him and saying, he has this testimony. He pleased God. Now I'm wondering, what kind of testimony do you and I have? I'm not saying here at Bible Baptist Church this morning. What kind of testimony? If we were to invite your boss here this morning on the platform and say, okay, what kind of testimony does your employee have? Are they honest? Are they diligent? Are they hard worker? Do they ever speak foul language? Are they a good testimony? I wonder what kind of testimony we'd have if we invited your child up here and say, what kind of testimony does your dad have at home? What kind of testimony does your mom have at home? You know, there's a story about a Sunday school teacher. She had a group of first graders, and she asked these first graders, what is a Christian? And this little boy, he raised his hand up real quickly, and he said this. He said, Christians are nice people who never complain, argue, or talk back. And then he added, my daddy is a good Christian, but my mommy isn't. What kind of testimony do we have? I read a story about a young man. He worked with his dad in the summer. And every morning on the way to work, they would stop at this little grocery store, and his dad would buy a newspaper. And one day they left the grocery store and they got to work, and the father found out that by mistake he had taken two newspapers. And so he was sitting there thinking, well, maybe I can just, tomorrow I'll pay double. But then he stopped and thought, wait a minute, I don't want this man to think I'm dishonest, so I'm going to take it back right now. And so he went right back down to the store, and he took that newspaper back and said, by mistake, I had taken two, and so I just wanted to bring this back. Well, about a week later, some money was stolen at the grocery store. And the police, they had done an investigation and found out, they pinpointed the time and the day that the money was stolen. And the store owner, he remembered at that particular time and day that there were two people in the store, one of them being this young man's father. And so the storekeeper told the police, and he said, "You know what? I know it's not this man, because this man is a really honest man. In fact, he came back that day to give a newspaper that he had taken by accident." Well, the police went on to investigate the other man, and the man ended up confessing to stealing the money. But you know what? That man's testimony made an impact on the shopkeeper for Christ and his son. When I read that story, it reminded me of a story, and I'm not making this up. This is a true story. One day when we were in Africa, we'd been to the market, and I had our associate pastor with me that I was training for the ministry, and we went to the store to get some things for my wife, and we lapped, and he had given me the change back. I'm driving the car, and he gives me the change, and I look at it, and I said, "Well, wait a minute, that's not the right change." And he got to counting it. Come to find out, they gave us too much. I mean, it wasn't a lot. But I turned around at that very moment and went back. And the reason I did is because in Ghana, you have to realize people there, if they find something, if you lose your phone, if you drop a phone, you're never going to see it again. There is no lost and found in Africa. Finders, keepers. That's the rule over there. And, you know, so I wanted to be a testimony to Michael. I wanted Michael to see that it pays to be honest. It pays to have a good testimony with people in the community. And so we went back and we gave the lady the money back. And you know what? I had him take it back because he went in and paid for it. And he went in and he came back and he told me, he said, "Man, she was shocked." He said, "I told her that my pastor said that we have to come back and you'd given us too much and we have to come back and give this money back." He said she was just absolutely shocked. Listen, we have a testimony to keep. It's not what people think about us. It's what people think about the Christ that we represent. Why does people think about Jesus? Because of us. I mean, how many times have you heard people, "Well, I'm not going to church because those Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites." You see, our testimony, when we don't steward our testimony, it does have an effect on the cause of Christ. It could be that because of our lack of stewardship in our testimony, we could cause some of our friends and neighbors and family members to go to hell. Because they look at our life, they don't see anything different. They think, "Well, you know, it ain't just like that little boy is telling his dad, well, you know, Dad, it's probably not going to work for me either." You know, I want to say that I've heard Christians say things like this: "I don't care what others think about me. It's my life. I can do what I want." Let me just say, really? Is it really your life? Is it really? I mean, who gave you breath? You know, the Bible tells us God holds our breath in His hand. God gave us breath. God can take away our breath. Are we really our own? I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want every Christian to see this, because I know that many of you know these verses, but I want to remind you of them. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. You know, right before that, he's talking about verse 18, flee fornication. You know, he's talking about sin. Flee it. He's talking about their testimony. But notice verse 19, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What's he talking about? He's talking about our testimony. He says here that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. What price? The blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, we were purchased at great price. If you're saved, redeemed, it was the blood of Jesus on the cross that paid for it. It didn't cost you anything. All you had to do is believe and receive. But it cost Christ his blood. He died for you. He bought you. He said, you're not your own. Your body's not your own. Your spirit's not your own. He said, so we are to glorify God in our body and spirit, which are God's. So for me to say, well, it's my life. I can do what I want. I don't care what people think. It's almost like we are spitting in God's face when we do that. When we say that. I mean, really, honestly, if you're a child of God, you're just saying, God, I'm not really, you didn't really save me. You didn't really, I'm my own. I can do what I want, God. You don't matter to me. I don't care about your name being honored. Really, it shows your spiritual condition. You know, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've never been made a new creature in Christ. Maybe you're still old. In the old things and still in sin. If we're saved, we have a testimony to keep. Go back to Colossians, and I want you to look in the last chapter of Colossians 4. Remember, he prayed. He said, you know, I'm praying that you would grow in your knowledge of God's will and wisdom and that you might walk worthy of the Lord. He's talking about their testimony. That's why I'm praying for you. I want you to grow in the Lord because I want you to be able to walk worthy. And you know, we can't walk worthy of God if we don't know his will. And how do we know his will? Well, we get in the Word of God and we study the Word of God and we pray and we come to church and fellowship with God's people and we stand under the teaching of the Word of God and we grow in God's will and so we can walk worthy. But now when we come to chapter 4, verse 5, he said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So now he's giving them a command. He said, you know, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that you'll grow. I'm praying so that you'll walk worthy, but now he's telling them, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. You know, this passage here, beginning in verse 2 through 6, you know what the key word is? Those that are without. That's what it's all about. Well, and you know, Jesus was the first one to use that expression when he taught his disciples, Mark 4:11, he told them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. The Lord is drawing the line and saying that, you know, there are some that know me, some that belong to me, but then there's some that are without. They are not in me. They're without. You know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ephesians, he's talking about how they, at one time, they were without. They were without Christ. They were without God. They were without hope. They were living lost like most people in the world are. He said, but now you're made nigh. You're in a relationship with God because of Jesus, because of the blood of Christ. You know, to be without Christ is a terrible place to be. I'm telling you this morning, if you're here without Christ, it's a terrible place to be. You may think, oh, well, I don't need religion. I'm not talking about religion. We don't need religion. We need Christ. You don't need religion. You need righteousness. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, how do we get righteous? Believe on Christ. And it says His righteousness is imputed to us. It's accounted to us. It's put in our account. I mean, that's a miracle. That's grace. When God looks at me, He doesn't see my sin, my imperfections. He doesn't see my past. What He sees is Christ. That blows me away. I'm in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, He tells me, now I want you to live like it. Walk like it. Talk like it. You know, the saddest description in the Bible of those who are without is found in Revelation 22. I'm gonna turn over there. You can if you want. But Revelation 22 in verse 14 and 15, it says this. Verse 14, 15, Revelation 22. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. What is he talking about here? Well, Revelation 22 is about heaven. It's about that new Jerusalem, that heavenly city that all the redeemed are going to be in one day. But he's saying, he's making a distinction here, there are going to be some that are without the city that can't come in. You know, Revelation tells us if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be without. You're going to be cast in the lake of fire. You won't be in this city. This city of God, this city of eternal bliss with Jesus Christ. It's sad to be without Christ. If you're without Christ, you're going to be without heaven. You're going to be without eternal life. You're going to be without forgiveness. You're going to be without a relationship with God to walk with you through this life. You're going to be without God's presence in your life. You're going to be under His condemnation. You know, it's not just a matter of when you die that, you know, being a Christian doesn't mean that, well, it's only going to help me when I die. No, it helps me now. Because I have Jesus now. I have Jesus to call on in time of need. When I'm in a time of need, I got a burden and struggle, I can go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help me in time of need. I can go to Him. And why can I go to Him? Because I know Jesus Christ. Because I have fellowship with God. You know, speaking of our testimony, you know, you cannot witness or testify of something you have not seen or heard. You know, the word testimony, we can talk about it as even like a court. You go to a courtroom and they bring people witnesses to give testimony. They say, I saw with my eyes, I heard it with my ears, this is what happened. If you didn't see it, if you didn't hear it, how can you give testimony? You can't give testimony. Listen, if you are not saved, if you have not come to Jesus Christ and trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you can't give testimony. You can say, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church. That's not a testimony. A testimony is, hey, I want to tell you about what happened to me. You know, I was lost. I was living in sin. I knew something was missing in my life. And I went to church, but I just couldn't figure it out. I just missing out on something, but one day the light came on, and I realized that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, rose again. He wanted to be my Savior. He wanted to forgive all my sin. He wanted to bring me in a relationship with God, my Father. And that day, I bowed my knee, and I cried out to God, God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. That day, Christ came in and saved me. I was a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things come new. My life changed. And this is how my life changed. Now I have peace. Now I have joy. Even in the midst of my tribulations and trials. And sometimes, you know, life is hard. But I thank God that I can go to him and talk to him about it. And I can get the peace of God that passes all understanding, knowing that God's going to work it out some way or another for my good. May not be what I want, but it's going to be good. And it's going to be for his glory. And I know all that because I have Jesus. See, that's a testimony. That's a testimony. And it's not just verbal, as I said. It's our life. It's how we live, and it's what we speak. You know, as we think about these people without, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, we who are in Christ, we should be burdened about those that are without Christ. Those that are without God, we should be burdened. That should inspire us. That should encourage us to steward our testimony, to think about some of our habits, to think about some of the places we go, to think about how we talk to people, how we treat people, you know, how we treat our kids, and all these things. We should really be thinking about this. It's not about, well, me. It's about Christ. How's my life reflecting Jesus Christ? Can people look at me and say, you know, that person's different. I want to know what's different about them. That person has peace and joy that I want to know more about. We need to guard our testimony. He says here, walk in wisdom. In other words, stop being foolish. You know, if you want to win your boss to Christ, you can't have a poor testimony. You can't show up late. You can't be lazy. You can't lie. You've got to be on time. You've got to be honest, and you've got to have a good spirit and work hard so they can see you're different than all the other employees. That would give you a foundation to talk to them about Christ. Same way with your friends. You got to be different. Your friends tell dirty jokes that way. I don't want to hear that. I really don't want to hear that. Hey, why don't you come over here and let's go to this party or let's go do this or that. No, I don't want to do that. You take that stand and they see, well, why? Why are you not like us? Because of Jesus. Amen. Jesus made a difference. You know, a wife that has an unsaved husband, how is she going to win her husband? Peter tells us, don't be a nagger. Don't nag and nag and nag on him all the time. Live before him with a quiet and meek spirit and be obedient to your husband and love your husband. Let him see the Spirit of Christ in you. Let the Holy Spirit draw him to Christ. All about your testimony. He says, redeeming the time. You know, we've got to make every opportunity. Time is short. It is short. The Lord's coming back. Our testimony before the world, before those that are without, we've got to redeem the time to reach others for Christ. And, you know, I could go on. Verse 6, he talks about our speech. You know, a lot of times in our speech, that's where we alienate people from Christ, or we keep people from coming to church or coming to Christ because of our speech. Things we say. He says to let your speech be always with grace. Gracious words. That's what they said about Christ in Luke 4. He's at Nazareth and he taught and preached. They were amazed at his gracious words. You know, gracious words would rule out harshness, criticism, gossip. All those things would be ruled out. You know, somebody said, more people are won by honey than they are by vinegar. You're not going to win people to the Lord when your language is like vinegar. It's bitter. It needs to be sweet and gracious. He said, season with salt. You know, salt, how many of you like eggs? Some people don't like eggs, but I tell you, I don't like eggs plain. Amen. They're no good. Even the Bible says in Job, they're no good without salt. I'm not quoting the verse, but I'm just referring. I don't remember where it is, but I know it's in there. salt on the eggs. And salsa, right, Brother Dominguez? You got to put salsa because salt's in the salsa too. See, what does salt do? Well, salt gives tang to our food. Well, he says we need to have it in our speech. I mean, we should be interesting. You know, salt, it stops corruption or things from spoiling. You know, years ago they used to soak meat in brine, which is salt water. And it would preserve the meat. Well, you know, our words ought to be a rebuke to people around us that speak with corrupt communication. Our words should stop all corrupt speech. You know, salt creates thirst, just like now. I must have had too much salt this morning. I did have a breakfast sandwich with eggs and so salt. It creates thirst. You know, salt in your speech, what does that mean? Well, it should create thirst. When we talk to people, it should, just by the words we say and how we talk, the spirit in which we talk to people, they should thirst to hear more. So we can tell them about Jesus. He says that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I'm going to turn to the last verse this morning, 1 Peter 3. I want you to look with me here, 1 Peter 3. We're going to wrap it up here pretty quick. I said last verse, one other illustration, I think, after that. But here in 1 Peter 3, he tells us here in verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now look at verse 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So he's telling us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. That means to put God first and have him set apart in our hearts, as, you know, he's the one we worship and serve first, and we love him with all of our heart. And then he tells us, be ready always to give an answer. You know, people ask, well, why do you have such hope? Why are you so happy in the midst of all these trials and struggles? What gives you that hope? But you know, the key, I think, is in verse 16 where he says, having a good conscience. Yeah, testimony is very important to our witness, our verbal witness. If you don't have a good testimony, your verbal witness is not going to be good. If you've got some sin in your life, there's not going to be a good conscience. But he tells us here, having a good conscience. You know, people are going to speak evil of us. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, they're going to mock you. Jesus said that in Matthew 5. They're going to persecute you. They're going to say all manner of evil against you. But it should be false accusations, Christians. We should have a good testimony. We should not give people anything evil to say of us. I'm going to close with this question. Why is stewarding our testimony so important? Why am I making such a big deal of our testimony? Why is it so important that we stop and evaluate our testimony, our life, our actions, our words, our habits and how we're living our life? Why do I need to steward that? Why do I need to manage that better for God? Let me tell you one of the reasons why. Because our testimony is one of the tools that God is going to use to bring people to Christ. Stop thinking about that. Our testimony is going to be one of the tools that God's going to use to bring someone to Christ. That someone might be your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, your father, your mother, your wife, your husband, your best friend, your boss at work, your coworker, your mailman. It could be that person that God wants to use your testimony to bring that person to Christ. If you don't steward your testimony, then how are they going to come to Christ? I certainly don't want to be a hindrance to God working in people around me that He desires so deeply to see them come to Jesus Christ. I don't want to hinder that. It makes me stop and think, Lord, is there something that in my life that would hinder somebody from coming to Christ? Is something that I'm doing or something that my life I need to change? Maybe I need to come to You today and confess that sin. Lord, what is it that needs to change in my life? You know, Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 5:16, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, it's not about what people think of us. It's what they think of Christ and what they think of our Father. We're to let our light shine. You know those verses before He said, you know, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick. Don't hide your light, your testimony. Don't hide it. Let it shine. Let it shine. Just like the little children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. That's what we need to do, Christians. Steward our testimony. Let your light shine. What light? The light that Christ put in you. The light that He put in you. Let it shine. And you know when He says, ye are the light of the world, that ye is plural. So I want to just close with this thought. It's not just our individual testimonies here that we're talking about. Each and every one of us, yes, we have a personal testimony. We need to take and steward that testimony. But listen, collectively, as a church, Bible Baptist Church, we have a testimony. Because of the members of Bible Baptist Church, what does Dumas, Texas think about our Savior? What do they think about our church? Not what they think about us, but what do they think about the church here, the church of Jesus Christ? What do they think? Our testimony makes a difference. Let's stand. As we bow our heads for prayer this morning, the Scripture exhorts us, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. This is the time that we start stewarding our testimony. There's people around us, they're watching. They're watching our lives. But there's lost people all around us that they're never going to come to Christ if we don't start showing Christ through our lives, through our actions. I'm not saying live a perfect life because that's not possible, but live a life dedicated to God. Live a life that you want to please God. You know, if you have a heart of humility, you have love, people will overlook all of your sin and faults that you have. But we need to have the heart for God, to love Him first and love our neighbor so they can see Christ. Maybe you're here today, you're without. You're in that group without Christ, without God. I can't tell you how important it is that you come to Christ. You know, we're not going to come and force you. God's not going to force you, but it has to be from your own heart. You have to, in your own heart, realize your sin, realize that you are without. You're without Christ, you're without God. And if you die like that, you're going to be eternity separated from Him. You have to see that, and you have to come to terms with that, and you have to come before God with a humble spirit and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. God, have mercy on me. I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you do that today? Would you come and say, I want to trust Jesus today. I want to get saved. I want to know that I have eternal life. I want to be in Christ. If you're like that, why don't you come? We'll have people here ready to show you how you can trust Christ and pray with you. Christian. Many have already come up here praying. We have a testimony. The steward. We have to steward it for Christ. For His glory. For His honor. Let our light shine. Maybe there's something in our life that we need to get right. Maybe the way we treated someone this last week, we need to go to that person, make it right. You know what? When you fail, when you sin against somebody, if you go to that person and you tell them, hey, I've sinned against you, I want to make this right, I'm sorry, I want you to forgive me. You know what that's showing? It's showing the love of Christ. It's showing the forgiveness of Christ. Christ forgave us. He forgave us of all sin. He calls on us to forgive others as He's forgiven us. So when we do that and we go forgive others and ask forgiveness, we're showing Christ. We're being humble and Christ-like. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for challenging and exhorting us with our testimony. We need to be stewards of our testimony. We need to be careful of what we do, what we say, the attitudes that we have, places we go, the friends that we hang out with. Lord, we have to be careful because it's about stewarding our testimony. It's about letting others see Christ in us. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, because we need Your help in this area. We need to remove everything that would hide Christ in our lives. Everything that would dim that light of Jesus. Lord, I think about in the evening's time that a dark light that's not been turned on, it doesn't attract anything. But when that light switch is flipped on, it attracts all the moths. They're in the darkness. They come out of the darkness and they come to the light. Lord, that's how we are to be. We're living in a dark world today, a world that's lost in sin, a world that calls evil good and calls good evil, a world that's just perverted and twisted, and You've called us to shine as lights. Lord, if we'd just go out into this world and let the light of Christ shine, people will come out of the darkness and come to the light. Lord, let us be that light this week in somebody's life. They can see us, see Christ in us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.